It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, how much do our personalities change over time? We'll find out about the latest research on the topic of identity and how it transforms over the years. Now, how can we best protect children from the worst aspects of social media? State Representative David Steffen is proposing legislation that would regulate social media access for everyone under the age of 18 in Wisconsin. The Republican representative's bill would impose an overnight digital curfew on social media for minors. It would require parental controls and full access to a child's account. It would also require age verification as well as limit advertisers and strangers' access to kids' information. Last month, Utah's governor became the first to sign into law a bill limiting how children can use social media. Wisconsin now joins other states like Arkansas, Texas, Ohio, New Jersey, and Louisiana that are considering similar laws. David Steffen is a Republican Assembly representative from Brown County. I talked to him yesterday about his bill. Before we get into the specifics of the law you're proposing, can you talk about the problems you're hoping to tackle with this new legislation?
Well, I have been hearing for some time from constituents, neighbors, schools about the issue of social media addiction and the issue that it's been having on our youth, in particular, teen girls. The level of anxiety, depression, sleep deprivation, and self-harm has absolutely skyrocketed in the last 15 years. And there's been a lot of studies that have directly correlated that to social media. So as a government, we have a certain responsibility to an extent for protecting our kids. And so I think it's time for Wisconsin to step in.
Talk us through, please, what kind of things would change if your legislation were to become law?
For any newer accounts, so accounts that are established 2019 or newer, there would be an age verification process established by the social media company. So whether that is a government ID, whether it's facial recognition, other consumer data, we would have to, for the first time for social media companies, have an age verification process so that we know who are the kids, that Wisconsin kids that are on our program. The second element is to have parental controls and parental access. So every minor account would automatically include parental controls and parental access, full controls. The third is to ensure that there is a dial down on the direct advertising that occurs, that the aggressive marketing, as well as prohibiting stranger contact. Right now, individuals, complete strangers, are able to direct message our children on Facebook and all the other platforms, which is a problem. And the final thing is to establish a curfew. Between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. would be a sleep mode for social media accounts for our children.
And social media, the term covers a lot of ground. Could you give us a taste of what outlets would be covered under this law?
So all the big ones are the ones that you should be thinking of. So that would be Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. Those are some of the big ones, obviously. That would be Snapchat. Those are the big ones that would be impacted by this. And so we need to start taking a first step at ensuring our children are safe on the social media platforms. Right now, they're not. It is the wild, wild electronic west. And our children have been targeted by drug trafficking, sex trafficking, and the abuse and addiction that's occurring on social media needs to finally be addressed.
And do you, in the legislation, name those providers by name? If I started a social media company tomorrow, I won't. But if I did, would that be covered under this law?
So you're touching on probably one of the most important parts is how do we properly capture the companies we're trying to as it relates to this legislation. So we are still tinkering with that definition to ensure it covers the big ones. But we also want to make sure that we are in no way stymieing innovation that is occurring in this space. So we're working on defining that to ensure the big guys are covered and that we are still protecting innovation and technology.
And one thing that it sounds tricky to me anyway would be enforcement. How do you foresee these laws, if passed, being enforced?
Yeah, the good news is that for the first time, the state of Wisconsin and its Department of Consumer Protection would have responsibility for enforcement. So if a complaint is filed from a parent, from an account holder, to the state. The state then has the authority to go and start imposing sanctions on those social media companies. Right now, if you have a problem with Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, who do you really go to? And by empowering the Department of Consumer Protection here in Wisconsin, we'll finally have a big player that can be on equal footing against the social media giants, and hopefully we'll get better compliance in that fashion.
People may have seen in the headlines the state of Utah signed, a similar piece of legislation into law. Do you have your eyes on what's going on in Utah?
So I had about 80% of my bill kind of designed, and then I saw that within the last 60 days that Utah passed theirs. And I took a lot of their ideas and have incorporated many of the provisions that were missing in mine are now going to be in this. One of the big differences is they have created a whole new level of liability that doesn't exist in mine because I think it goes a little too far. But the most important things are the parental control, the social media curfew, and ensuring that there's some opportunity and accountability as it relates to the direct targeting and stranger connections.
As we wrap up, Representative Stephan, what is your timeline for this legislation?
So this is the best part. For those who have a lot of questions and want to know how this impacts them, I'm expecting this to move very, very slow. In fact, that is my intention, is to spend the next 4 to 5 months gathering input from schools, parents, psychiatrists, psychologists. I want to get input on how to make this bill better. So a lot of this is going to be taking this on a bit of a roadshow around the state so that people can have an opportunity to give me their input. But by the end of this year, I'm hopeful we have it in place so that beginning in 2024, we have protections in place on social media for our children.
Representative Stephan, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was State Representative David Stephan from Brown County. He joined us to explain his proposed legislation that would limit social media access for minors and provide some new parental controls. Now let's look at what we know about social media's influence on kids, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. What concerns do you have about the impact of social media on children? Do you think we need some kind of legislation at the state or federal level to limit kids' access? If you are a parent, how have you dealt with this? If you grew up with social media, what did you see as the pros and cons? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Heather Kerkorian is a professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison, where she studies the effects of media on children's learning, play, and family interactions. Heather, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be here again. Thank you.
We heard Representative Stephan there citing some concerns that I hear out there quite a bit that, hey, too much access to social media can lead to mental health problems, emotional problems for kids, anxiety, depression, and more. What do we know about the kind of impacts that social media use can have on kids?
Yeah, the research is really complex. A lot of these issues are sort of systemic and have a lot of complex roots. I think if we look at the overall average effect across all kids, the best research out there actually suggests very small effects, if any. What's I think is a bigger takeaway from the best research out there is that the effects vary widely from one child to the next. So if we look at an average effect, it might be very small, if at all. But if we look at individual kids, some kids might benefit a lot from social media, some might be harmed by social media, and most of them are not affected much, if any.
So for a parent who's hearing that, they might say, great, social media might be perfectly fine for my kid unless it's not. So as kids start to age into social media, what can parents think about to make sure the worst cases aren't happening to their kids?
It's a great question. Some of the advice I like comes from the American Academy of Pediatrics. And one thing I like about their advice about media use with kids is they say a lot of the things that are important for screen time are just important for parenting in general. So, for example, with our kids' real life interactions, we want to know where they're going and who they're with. That goes for online interactions too. What sites are they using? What social media platforms are they using? Who are they contacting? And what kinds of privacy settings do they have?
And I'm casting a very wide net here when I say children and kids, because I'm literally saying 0 to 18 here, guessing there's a lot of variation. Let's look at those younger kids who might be, you know, starting to use a computer or a family-owned tablet or other device in the household. They don't have their own equipment yet. What are the things you would want to see parents do for those early days of going online for whatever?
Yeah, so one of the important things with younger kids especially is to the extent possible, use media together. So if younger kids have accounts or have access to the internet, having it on a shared device that's in a public space in the home rather than the child's own bedroom is very helpful. Using media together, making sure parents have access to any accounts that kids have set up is helpful. And any way that parents can set it up so that the only people contacting younger kids online are people they already know in real life and that the parents approve of.
And then I'm guessing, given that every kid and every family is different, there's no one number we could say, but when it comes to a kid having access to a social media account that parents aren't sitting there with them and directly monitoring all the time, what are things to think about before letting that happen?
Yeah, so technically, some of the only policies we have say that kids should be 13 in order to use things like social media sites. But of course, that's really easy to circumvent. And we all know lots of kids are accessing these kinds of sites long before 13 years old. You're exactly right that it's individual. One of the most important things I think parents can think about is to know their child and what their child is likely to be able to handle in terms of responsibility. So I tend to err on the side of caution and start with really good guardrails and training wheels for these kinds of things, and then slowly open things up as children demonstrate more responsibility. One of the things to look for is their ability to kind of self-regulate. So if your child is able to self-regulate well, they can resist temptation and do the things they need to do, then they might be ready. But if they're the kind of kid who has trouble resisting temptation or doesn't have an easy time following rules about things like bedtime or avoiding snacks when they're not supposed to eat snacks and things like this, then they might need to wait a little bit so that they kind of develop those self-regulation skills.
We're talking to Heather Kerkorian, professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison, looking at the effect social media use has on minors, getting some thoughts for parents on how to handle these issues for kids of different ages. This after some proposed legislation that would limit kids' social media use. We just heard about that. It's in the works. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about how social media affects kids? How do you handle these issues in your own family? What were some of the steps you took or wish you took with your kids? If you are the kid or were the kid in this situation, what are your thoughts? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Heather Kerkorian, professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison, where she studies the effects of media on children's learning, play, and family interactions, talking about a proposal in the Wisconsin legislature that would limit access to social media platforms for anyone under the age of 18, looking at wider issues of children's access to social media and how parents handle these issues. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls. Stan is with us in Watertown. Stan, hi.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call. I was a 90s kid. I connected to ask.com or search.com in 1996 to a dial-up internet connection, and I've been messed up ever since. I just wanted to say probably the best thing in the bill is that restricting strangers app and everything else is probably not feasible to happen or have anything good come from it. So just stranger danger bad. Have a good day.
Stan, thanks a lot for the call. Heather, that is something I think a lot of parents worry about. It is part of the legislation that we were talking about, concerns about strangers' access to kids and their information.
Yeah, for sure. That's a really common concern. The potentially good news is that concern around that kind of thing tends to be higher than actual incidents. So especially when we think about sexual predation or drug abuse, things like this, those kinds of things certainly do happen. They're probably not happening with the frequency we worry about them happening. But I think one of the other pieces of good news is virtually every platform already has privacy settings that are optional, so that if parents do want their kids to engage with others on social media, they can explore those personal privacy settings and turn on anything that prohibits strangers from reaching out.
Thanks for the call, Stan. Rocky joins us now in Ashland. Rocky, hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Rocky?
So listening to you talk about this proposed law, you know, I understand the concerns are keeping kids safe from, you know, predators and strangers and, you know, trying to prevent depression and suicide and all that from social media influences. But, you know, growing up as a queer adult, as a queer kid, if my household hadn't been supportive, you know, maybe I would have turned to social media to find community and safety and people who would help me get to a safe home, you know, situation. So if we're preventing kids from making those connections, it's not going to prevent the suicide and depression. It might make them worse.
Interesting perspective, Rocky. Thank you so much for sharing that. Heather, what do you think the potential benefits Rocky brings up?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I started out saying for some kids, it can be harmful. For others, it could be beneficial. Rocky's example is exactly what I have in mind when I say for some kids, it could be beneficial. So if you imagine one child is using social media too much and they feel lonely, then maybe reducing social media access might help. But if another child is using social media to try to reach out, find help, find community, then taking away social media could actually do more harm than good in that case. And we find from kids, for example, LGBTQ+ kids say, yeah, they sometimes encounter bullying and harmful content on the internet, but more kids actually say they encounter positive, supportive community on the internet. Same with students of color. Kids of color say, yeah, sometimes we encounter racist content or otherwise harmful content, but more kids actually say they encounter self-affirming content or positive images of their race.
Thanks a lot for the call, Rocky. Chris joins us now in Black River Falls. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I was listening to the representative speak there, and I am just appalled as a citizen that he would even attempt to bring this legislation. I feel it's political suicide. If you want to debate Section 230 of the Communications Code, we can certainly go to the Supreme Court with that. But otherwise, I think that the lid is off Pandora's box here. A long time ago. So if you game this out, how do you propose to enforce this?
I gotcha. Chris, thanks a lot for the call. Now, Heather, I won't ask you to get into the nuances of internet and First Amendment law, but that general idea, the Pandora's box has been opened, Chris thinks, and it's hard to close it. For a parent to hear that could be pretty alarming.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I encounter this a lot too. I can talk about what parents might, mm-hmm. when you might give your kid a phone or when you might allow them to use social media. And inevitably there's a parent in the audience that says, okay, for those of us who've already done it, mm-hmm. what do we do if we didn't do it the way you suggested? And so this is definitely a concern that some parents have. I agree around sort of First Amendment issues. I'm not an expert there. But certainly when we think about kids online or kids using social media, we can think about ways that parents or other caregivers might best minimize harmful content while allowing access to positive content.
Thanks for the call, Chris, at 800-642-1234. Talking about social media and kids with Heather Kerkorian from the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison. Heather, let's take that magical moment when a parent is getting ready to hand over that phone to the kid, knowing that's going to open some doors to the social media world, maybe stuff parents are worried about. Can you talk about the kind of conversations that should go into that before the phone is activated?
Yeah, so I think open communication is key, just like anything else with parenting. So establishing what are the expectations? How do we have kindness when we use social media? How do we avoid harmful content when we use media? And focusing on the sort of do's and do nots, whatever that might look like for a family. So that might be certain hours that social media can be used. It might be who gets to approve the people that kids are allowed to engage with on social media. So having those open conversations with kids early and often is really helpful. And also having parents learn as much as they can about those platforms. So one of the concerns for parents is that they might just not know as much as their kids do. So being informed yourself around what platforms your kids are using, what those privacy settings look like, and how to minimize harmful content can be really helpful.
And a big question I imagine parents will ask you from time to time is, I don't do social media at all. Or I know the Facebook, but I don't know what the kids are doing these days. Like that generation gap in knowledge. How can parents overcome that to be familiar with the platforms that their kids might be interested in?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of my favorite resources is commonsensemedia.org. They have a lot of free resources for parents, including fact sheets about different platforms. So you'll see TikTok in a nutshell or Instagram in a nutshell. So they'll talk about the most current, recent, popular platforms, and you then give parents a quick rundown, including how settings.
And then when it comes to research, at the outset, you said this is a complicated topic to research, the impact of social media on kids that covers a lot of ground. All kids are different. What kind of research are you hoping to see or maybe even do yourself that's going to give us some more insight on the impact?
Yeah, so two things I'd really like to see. One is a much better understanding about cause and effect. So right now we know about associations in the same point in time. What we don't know is whether and for whom social media is causing an outcome versus social media is the effect, sort of what kids are doing to try to get help, for example. And until we know that, we don't really know how to intervene to help kids. And then related point is, how do we identify kids most at risk of harm and intervene with those kids?
Heather, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Heather Kerkorian is a professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison. She joined us today for a look at social media and its impact on kids. Earlier, State Assembly Representative David Steffen joined the show for a look at new legislation that he's working on that would limit access to social media for kids. Still time for you to share your thoughts on this and maybe your experiences in your own family, how you tackle these issues, how you wish you'd tackle them, maybe your advice for other parents facing the same scenarios. You can email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. And let us know how this all impacted your own personal life and your own family. Coming up tomorrow on The Morning Show with Kate Archer Kent, a new ProPublica series raises questions about Supreme Court ethics and undisclosed major gifts to Justice Clarence Thomas. One of the investigative reporters joins the show to share their findings, and you can join in with your thoughts and questions. That's coming up tomorrow morning at 7 here on the Ideas Network. And by the way, you can join an ongoing conversation over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We talked today about tipping, gratuities, and how they are maybe different these days than they used to be. Share your thoughts as a tipper or tippee on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Calling all Kyles. If your first name is Kyle, you could help set a world record, but you'd have to travel to Texas to do it. As reported in the Dallas Morning News, the city of Kyle, Texas, that's near Austin, is trying to set a world record for the biggest gathering of people with the same first name. The city's called Kyle, Texas, so the first name they chose was a no-brainer. This is their fourth try. The event takes place at the first annual Kyle Fair, May 19th to 21st. Participating Kyles will get a Kyle Fair t-shirt. I think you have to pay your own way to get there, though. The current record that these Kyles are chasing, a get-together of 2,325 people named Ivan or Ivan in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Kyles of the world, unite. This is Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, how much do our personalities change over time? We'll find out about the latest research on the topic of identity and how it transforms over the years. Now, how can we best protect children from the worst aspects of social media? State Representative David Steffen is proposing legislation that would regulate social media access for everyone under the age of 18 in Wisconsin. Republican representative's bill would impose an overnight digital curfew on social media for minors. It would require parental controls and full access to a child's account. It would also require age verification, as well as limit advertisers and strangers' access to kids' information. Last month, Utah's governor became the first to sign into law a bill limiting how children can use social media. Wisconsin now joins other states like Arkansas, Texas, Ohio, New Jersey, and Louisiana that are considering similar laws. David Steffen is a Republican Assembly representative from Brown County. I talked to him yesterday about his bill. Before we get into the specifics of the law you're proposing, can you talk about the problems you're hoping to tackle with this new legislation?
Well, I have been hearing for some time from constituents, neighbors, schools about the issue of social media addiction and the issue that it's been having on our youth, in particular, teen girls. The level of anxiety, depression, sleep deprivation, and self-harm has absolutely skyrocketed in the last 15 years. And there's been a lot of studies that have directly correlated that to social media. So as a government, we have a certain responsibility to an extent for protecting our kids. And so I think it's time for Wisconsin to step in.
Talk us through, please, what kind of things would change if your legislation were to become law?
For any newer accounts, so accounts that are established 2019 or newer, there would be an age verification process established by the social media company. So whether that is a government ID, whether it's facial recognition, other consumer data, we would have to, for the first time for social media companies, have an age verification process so that we know who are the kids, that Wisconsin kids that are on our program. The second element is to have parental controls and parental access. So every minor account would automatically include parental controls and parental access, full controls. The third is to ensure that there is a dial down on the direct advertising that occurs, that the aggressive marketing, as well as prohibiting stranger contact. Right now, individuals, complete strangers, are able to direct message our children on Facebook and all the other platforms, which is a problem. And the final thing is to establish a curfew. Between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. would be a sleep mode for social media accounts for our children.
And social media, the term covers a lot of ground. Could you give us a taste of what outlets would be covered under this law?
So all the big ones are the ones that you should be thinking of. So that would be Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. Those are some of the big ones, obviously. That would be Snapchat. Those are the big ones that would be impacted by this. And so we need to start taking a first step at ensuring our children are safe on the social media platforms. Right now, they're not. It is the wild, wild electronic west. And our children have been targeted by drug trafficking, sex trafficking, and the abuse and addiction that's occurring on social media needs to finally be addressed.
And do you, in the legislation, name those providers by name? If I started a social media company tomorrow, I won't. But if I did, would that be covered under this law?
So you're touching on probably one of the most important parts is how do we properly capture the companies we're trying to as it relates to this legislation. So we are still tinkering with that definition to ensure it covers the big ones. But we also want to make sure that we are in no way stymieing innovation that is occurring in this space. So we're working on defining that to ensure the big guys are covered and that we are still protecting innovation and technology.
And one thing that sounds tricky to me anyway would be enforcement. How do you foresee these laws, if passed, being enforced?
Yeah. The good news is that for the first time, the state of Wisconsin and its Department of Consumer Protection would have responsibility for enforcement. So if a complaint is filed from a parent, from an account holder, to the state then has the authority to go and start imposing sanctions on those social media companies. Right now, if you have a problem with Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, who do you really go to? And by empowering the Department of Consumer Protection here in Wisconsin, we'll finally have a big player that can be on equal footing against the social media giants, and hopefully we'll get better compliance in that fashion.
People may have seen in the headlines the state of Utah signed, a similar piece of legislation into law. Do you have your eyes on what's going on in Utah?
So I had about 80% of my bill kind of designed. And then I've saw that within the last 60 days that Utah passed theirs. And I took a lot of their ideas and have incorporated many of the provisions that were missing in mine are now going to be in this. One of the big differences is they have created a whole new level of liability that doesn't exist in mine because I think it goes a little too far. But the most important things are the parental control, the social media curfew, and ensuring that there is some opportunity and accountability as it relates to the direct targeting and stranger connections.
As we wrap up, Representative Stephan, what is your timeline for this legislation?
So this is the best part. For those who have a lot of questions and want to know how this impacts them, I'm expecting this to move very, very slow. In fact, that is my intention, is to spend the next 4 to 5 months gathering input from schools, parents, psychiatrists, psychologists. I want to get input on how to make this bill better. So a lot of this is going to be taking this on a bit of a roadshow around the state so that people can have an opportunity to give me their input. But by the end of this year, I'm hopeful we have it in place so that beginning in 2024, we have protections in place on social media for our children.
Representative Stephan, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was State Representative David Stephan from Brown County. He joined us to explain his proposed legislation that would limit social media access for minors and provide some new parental controls. Now let's look at what we know about social media's influence on kids, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. What concerns do you have about the impact of social media on children? Do you think we need some kind of legislation at the state or federal level to limit kids' access? If you are a parent, how have you dealt with this? If you grew up with social media, what did you see as the pros and cons? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Heather Kerkorian is a professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison, where she studies the effects of media on children's learning, play, and family interactions. Heather, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be here again. Thank you.
We heard Representative Stephan there citing some concerns that I hear out there quite a bit that, hey, access, too much access to social media can lead to mental health problems, emotional problems for kids, anxiety, depression, and more. What do we know about the kind of impacts that social media use can have on kids?
Yeah, the research is really complex. A lot of these issues are sort of systemic and have a lot of complex roots. I think if we look at the overall average effect across all kids, the best research out there actually suggests very small effects, if any. What's I think is a bigger takeaway from the best research out there is that the effects vary widely from one child to the next. So if we look at an average effect, it might be very small, if at all. But if we look at individual kids, some kids might benefit a lot from social media, some might be harmed by social media, and most of them are not affected much, if any.
So for a parent who's hearing that, they might say, great, social media might be perfectly fine for my kid unless it's not. So as kids start to age into social media, what can parents think about to make sure the worst cases aren't happening to their kids?
It's a great question. Some of the advice I like comes from the American Academy of Pediatrics. And one thing I like about their advice about media use with kids is they say a lot of the things that are important for screen time are just important for parenting in general. So, for example, with our kids' real life interactions, we want to know where they're going and who they're with. That goes for online interactions too. What sites are they using? What social media platforms are they using? Who are they contacting? And what kinds of privacy settings do they have?
And I'm casting a very wide net here when I say children and kids, because I'm literally saying 0 to 18 here, guessing there's a lot of variation. Let's look at those younger kids who might be starting to use a computer or a family-owned tablet or other device in the household. They don't have their own equipment yet. What are the things you'd want to see parents do for those early days of going online for whatever?
Yeah, so one of the important things with younger kids especially is to the extent possible, use media together. So if younger kids have accounts or have access to the internet, having it on a shared device that's in a public space in the home rather than the child's own bedroom is very helpful. Using media together, making sure parents have access to any accounts that kids have set up is helpful. And any way that parents can set it up so that the only people contacting younger kids online are people they already know in real life and that the parents approve of.
And then I'm guessing, given that every kid and every family is different, there's no one number we could say, but when it comes to a kid having access to a social media account that parents aren't sitting there with them and directly monitoring all the time, what are things to think about before letting that happen?
Yeah, so technically, some of the only policies we have say that kids should be 13 in order to use things like social media sites. But of course, that's really easy to circumvent. And we all know lots of kids are accessing these kinds of sites long before 13 years old. You're exactly right that it's individual. One of the most important things I think parents can think about is to know their child and what their child is likely to be able to handle in terms of responsibility. So I tend to err on the side of caution and start with really good guardrails and training wheels for these kinds of things, and then slowly open things up as children demonstrate more responsibility. One of the things to look for is their ability to kind of self-regulate. So if your child is able to self-regulate well, they can resist temptation and do the things they need to do, then they might be ready. But if they're the kind of kid who has trouble resisting temptation or doesn't have an easy time following rules about things like bedtime or avoiding snacks when they're not supposed to eat snacks and things like this, then they might need to wait a little bit so that they kind of develop those self-regulation skills.
We're talking to Heather Kerkorian, professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison, looking at the effect social media use has on minors, getting some thoughts for parents on how to handle these issues for kids of different ages. This after some proposed legislation that would limit kids' social media use. We just heard about that. It's in the works. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about how social media affects kids? How do you handle these issues in your own family? What were some of the steps you took or wish you took with your kids if you are the kid or were the kid in this situation? What are your thoughts? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Heather Kerkorian, professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison, where she studies the effects of media on children's learning, play, and family interactions, talking about a proposal in the Wisconsin legislature that would limit access to social media platforms for anyone under the age of 18, looking at wider issues of children's access to social media and how parents handle these issues. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls. Stan is with us in Watertown. Stan, hi.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call. I was a 90s kid. I connected to ask.com or search.com in 1996 to a dial-up internet connection, and I've been messed up ever since. I just wanted to say probably the best thing in the bill is that restricting strangers app and everything else is probably not feasible to happen or have anything good come from it. So just stranger danger bad. Have a good day.
Stan, thanks a lot for the call. Heather, that is something I think a lot of parents worry about. It is part of the legislation that we were talking about, concerns about strangers' access to kids and their information.
Yeah, for sure. That's a really common concern. The potentially good news is that concern around that kind of thing tends to be higher than actual incidents. So especially when we think about sexual predation or drug abuse, things like this, those kinds of things certainly do happen. They're probably not happening with the frequency we worry about them happening. But I think one of the other pieces of good news is virtually every platform already has privacy settings that are optional, so that if parents do want their kids to engage with others on social media, they can explore those personal privacy settings and turn on anything that prohibits strangers from reaching out.
Thanks for the call, Stan. Rocky joins us now in Ashland. Rocky, hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Rocky?
So listening to you talk about this proposed law, you know, I understand the concerns are keeping kids safe from, you know, predators and strangers and, you know, trying to prevent depression and suicide and all that from social media influences. But, you know, growing up as a queer adult, as a queer kid, if my household hadn't been supportive, you know, maybe I would have turned to social media to find community and safety and people who would help me get to a safe home, you know, situation. So if we're preventing kids from making those connections, it's not going to prevent the suicide and depression. It might make them worse.
Interesting perspective, Rocky. Thank you so much for sharing that. Heather, what do you think the potential benefits Rocky brings up?
Yeah, I totally agree. And this is, I started out saying for some kids, it can be harmful. For others, it could be beneficial. Rocky's example is exactly what I have in mind when I say for some kids, it could be beneficial. So if you imagine one child is using social media too much and they feel lonely, then maybe reducing social media access might help. But if another child is using social media to try to reach out, find help, find community, then taking away social media could actually do more harm than good in that case. And we find from kids, for example, LGBTQ plus kids say, yeah, they sometimes encounter bullying and harmful content on the internet, but more kids actually say they encounter positive, supportive community on the internet. Same with students of color. Kids of color say, yeah, sometimes we encounter racist content or otherwise harmful content, but more kids actually say they encounter self-affirming content or positive images of their race.
Thanks a lot for the call, Rocky. Chris joins us now in Black River Falls. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I was listening to the representative speak there, and I am just appalled as a citizen that he would even attempt to bring this legislation. I feel it's political suicide. If you want to debate Section 230 of the Communications Code, we can certainly go to the Supreme Court with that. But otherwise, I think that the lid is off Pandora's box here. A long time ago. So how do you, if you game this out, how do you propose to enforce this?
I gotcha. Chris, thanks a lot for the call. Now, Heather, I won't ask you to get into the nuances of internet and First Amendment law, but that general idea, the Pandora's box has been opened, Chris thinks, and it's hard to close it. For a parent to hear that could be pretty alarming.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I encounter this a lot too. I can talk about what parents might, mm-hmm. when you might give your kid a phone or when you might allow them to use social media. And inevitably there's a parent in the audience that says, okay, for those of us who've already done it, mm-hmm. what do we do if we didn't do it the way you suggested? And so this is definitely a concern that some parents have. I agree around sort of First Amendment issues. I'm not an expert there. But certainly when we think about kids online or kids using social media, we can think about ways that parents or other caregivers might best minimize harmful content while allowing access to positive content.
Thanks for the call, Chris, at 800-642-1234. Talking about social media and kids with Heather Kerkorian from the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison. Heather, let's take that magical moment when a parent is getting ready to hand over that phone to the kid, knowing that's going to open some doors to the social media world, maybe stuff parents are worried about. Can you talk about the kind of conversations that should go into that before the phone is activated?
Yeah, so I think open communication is key, just like anything else with parenting. So establishing what are the expectations? How do we have kindness when we use social media? How do we avoid harmful content when we use media? And focusing on the sort of do's and do nots, whatever that might look like for a family. So that might be certain hours that social media can be used. It might be who gets to approve the people that kids are allowed to engage with on social media. So having those open conversations with kids early and often is really helpful. And also having parents learn as much as they can about those platforms. So one of the concerns for parents is that they might just not know as much as their kids do. So being informed yourself around what platforms your kids are using, what those privacy settings look like, and how to minimize harmful content can be really helpful.
And a big question I imagine parents will ask you from time to time is, I don't do social media at all. Or I know the Facebook, but I don't know what the kids are doing these days. Like that generation gap in knowledge. How can parents overcome that to be familiar with the platforms that their kids might be interested in?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of my favorite resources is commonsensemedia.org. They have a lot of free resources for parents, including fact sheets about different platforms. So you'll see TikTok in a nutshell or Instagram in a nutshell. So they'll talk about the most current, recent, popular platforms, and you then give parents a quick rundown, including how settings.
And then when it comes to research, at the outset, you said this is a complicated topic to research, the impact of social media on kids that covers a lot of ground. All kids are different. What kind of research are you hoping to see or maybe even do yourself that's going to give us some more insight on the impact?
Yeah. So two things I'd really like to see. One is a much better understanding about cause and effect. So right now we know about associations in the same point in time. What we don't know is whether and for whom social media is causing an outcome. Versus social media is the effect, sort of what kids are doing to try to get help, for example. And until we know that, we don't really know how to intervene to help kids. And then related point is, how do we identify kids most at risk of harm and intervene with those kids?
Heather, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Heather Kerkorian is a professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison. She joined us today for a look at social media and its impact on kids. Earlier, State Assembly Representative David Steffen joined the show for a look at new legislation that he's working on that would limit access to social media for kids. Still time for you to share your thoughts on this and maybe your experiences in your own family, how you tackle these issues, how you wish you'd tackle them, maybe your advice for other parents facing the same scenarios. You can email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. And let us know how this all impacted your own personal life and your own family. Coming up tomorrow on The Morning Show with Kate Archer Kent, a new ProPublica series raises questions about Supreme Court ethics and undisclosed major gifts to Justice Clarence Thomas. One of the investigative reporters joins the show to share their findings, and you can join in with your thoughts and questions. That's coming up tomorrow morning at 7 here on the Ideas Network. And by the way, you can join an ongoing conversation over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We talked today about tipping, gratuities, and how they are maybe different these days than they used to be. Share your thoughts as a tipper or tippee on the Ideas Network Facebook page.